Welcome to the Cognizant Leadership and Innovation Podcast, a podcast for leaders and by leaders, where they share their secret sauce to success with technology, culture, and people. So hold on, because another great episode starts right now. Welcome to the Cognizant Leadership and Innovation Podcast. I'm your host, Thomas Anglero, and another episode with another amazing guest. She's smiling at me right now. There's no video on this podcast, but I can tell you I'm enjoying this smile. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like you to welcome to the podcast none other than the avid skier. I'm building her up now. She's laughing. Let me just introduce her. Her name is Eva Forge. She's the managing director of Google Cloud in the Nordic region. She is a skier, as I said. She likes going off-piste. I'm telling them done your entire life now. She's married, two kids, a cat, and she loves to plan her vacations while she's on vacation. Ladies and gentlemen, Eva! Hi, Eva. How are you?
Oh, wow, what an intro. Thank you, Thomas. I love that. But it feels like we're almost done. You know, you have already said everything that is to be, you know, known about
I'm
it,
sorry.
Right?
I'm sorry. No, you're deeper than that. Trust me. That's why we want you on. You know, Eva, you work for Google, and yeah, Google is now a verb, I think, in every dictionary in the world. So, I mean, there's no need to introduce that there. But like we were talking before we went live, you travel around the world, you have this huge perspective. And all of our listeners out there, they're leaders, they're executives, they're people who are trying to learn from the best, and you are one of the best. So let's set up the whole thing that's going on today. The date, we're in August of 2022. We just finished 11 years of a beautiful world. Everything is great. People are going on ski trips, Eva. People are having wonderful vacations, Eva. Everything is fantastic. But is business as usual right now? What's coming? What's happening out there? How are you prepping your people? How are you prepping as a leader right now for what the, you know, all the news, if you're on the internet, you watch the news, they're saying the market's going to go down, all this negative stuff. As a leader, just at a high level, how do you lead right now running the Nordic region?
It's definitely very, very important to think of. And I believe that we've had some hiccups the past 11 years. So I think we ran into the wall of the global pandemic. We shouldn't spend too much time maybe on that one right now. And then, of course, what happened February 24th this year, it was horrible when Russia invaded Ukraine. So we have for certainly been, into some very, very dramatic things. But as a leader, with the uncertainty that there is right now about the future, and we are seeing indications, and the indicators don't point in the right direction. And yet there is a lot of uncertainty. What does this mean? Because in every crisis, there are opportunities and risks. And I think it's so important as a leader, first and foremost, you don't have all the answers. And I think it's so important to step back, try to take a holistic picture and ask for feedback. Ask for advice from people. What do you see? What do you hear? And how do you assess it? You know, go read up on what's the latest and take more perspectives than one. There's a lot about conversation about, who are you supposed to trust in this world? So I think it's very important that you take that step back, you build your own, you frame on, where you are before you act.
Eva, that's what you said is really important. And so a lot of leaders out there are saying, I'm the CEO. I'm supposed to know everything. And what you're saying is, it's okay to tell people, I don't have all the answers. That is a delicate balancing act because I pick on men. I'm a man. A lot of us men, we don't want people to see that. We don't know everything. How do you balance that?
I think it's important to be able to do both things. Because as a leader, I think it's super important that you can pull the card, I don't know the answer. But it's equally important to be able to pull the card and say, this is our North Star. This is where we are going. So you cannot always use this I don't know card, because you are expected as a leader to actually, you know, take a step in a direction and, you know, lead the way. So for me, it's about taking a step back, assessing the situation, ask for feedback, ask for input, and then make a decision based on that one. And then you can take a step forward. So I think doing that balancing act of capturing information, make an assessment, and then do a call, I think that is super important. So you need to play both cards.
Yeah, no, thank you. And one other thing here, you got me. We're going off on a tangent. We'll come back to what we started before. But you're giving great advice. Another bit of advice. Right now, everything is digitalized. Digitalization, digital transformation, all this stuff. A lot of leaders don't know all the buzzwords that are out there. But yet, as the leader, they're supposed to know it. Can you give them a little advice? Because it's a bit intimidating. Like, for example, quantum computing, cloud computing, IoT, all these things. It's like, right? How you as a leader, and in God, you work at Google. There's no more buzzwords than your company. How do you manage all these latest trends? So what I'm saying is, as a leader, how do you stay up to date with all this stuff and be comfortable with it at leading people? That's another balancing act.
I think there are two things here. First, exactly to your point, why speak about quantum computing if you are not into quantum computing? People are most likely not eager to listen to your mumbo jumbo. So, you know, speak about things you know, keep it to that rather than make predictions of everything in the world.
That was direct.
I'm not saying that you are speaking about quantum computing. No.
Keep going. I'm sorry.
But I think, you know, speak about what you know and don't make predictions about left, south, and center. You're not an oracle. You know, you can actually, you know, stay true to what you know. And here again, invest in learning. You know, always be learning. Be a constant learner, independently of, you know, where you are in the organization. You know, it's not that you should stop learning and stop investing in yourself if you reach a certain level in an organization. It's not that an executive title, you know, allows you to say I'm done, because you're never ever done. I think we need to be constant learners, and we need to lead and be role models as leaders to show I invest time in my learning. I ensure I'm keeping up to date, because keeping up to date is a different thing than making predictions about everything. I, as a leader, I have an accountability to be up to date.
You are touching on so many great things. Let's get back on track to my first question before I derailed you. And that is where things are going. You had given us a wonderful explanation, and you gave examples of how to be a leader and balancing all the things that are going on. Could you just continue as to your thoughts about where we're going?
So I think, and thank you for bringing us back, because I felt that we derailed a little bit. So it's great that we're back on track on that, because I think the important thing in this time of uncertainty where the macroeconomic climate is going, uncertainty of, in our case, where our customers' journeys are going and what's changing, I think it's important to bring your people on board and, you know, be very clear in communicating what you are seeing. So I think that it's easy as a leader to lock yourself in a little box, talk about the crisis in dark rooms without bringing the people on board. But you need to do it in a three-phased approach. That's the way I look at it. So first, you need to tell what you see is going on. You need to tell the organization what course corrections is required and what new baselines that might be. And then you need to empower people. So people know that maybe the way we are doing things will be different. You define that new box, but you leave it up to people how to live within those boundaries. Because I think in order to, you know, lead through change, you need to enable people to make their own calls on how they should adjust. So I think that in those times where uncertainty comes in and you need to course correct, and you might have to course correct quite radical, you need to tell people how they can manage within their own empowerment. Because that's the way to have people leaning in rather than having people finger pointing and say, leadership have made some decisions I'm not buying. So in order to get engagement and leaning in through, you know, change as in an economic uncertainty, you need to give people the tools to be empowered and make their own calls on how to live under a new situation.
That's a really progressive way of leadership, because you're actually empowering your employees, your colleagues, and you're seeing them like equals versus the pyramid of I am the boss, I dictate, and all that. And that's difficult for a lot of leaders. A lot of people, you know, I could tell too many stories. I've met too many leaders who said, I've worked so hard, 20 or 30 years. I'm finally the boss. I will make all decisions. But in those 30 years, organizational management, cultural change has changed. How did you end up getting this open focus of understanding, delegating, allowing people to be part of the change? What advice do you have for a person transitioning from that old mindset to your Everforce master skier mindset?
I think I have learned throughout the years as a leader. I've been a leader for 20 plus years. And I would say that my leadership day one was not as empowering and as, you know, stepping back in control. I think I was quite controlling and very much.
You're admitting. You know,
absolutely, 110%. It's actually funny. I don't think I would have liked to work for Everforce 1.0 manager. No.
Okay.
So I'm learning by doing, and actually I had the reflection since it was a guy in a former company. He was having me as his direct manager three different times, and we could actually make some fun about how I evolved. Through those period of times when you know, he had to get me back again as direct leader. So I definitely have evolved, and I know that I'm a far better leader today than I am when I first took on my first leadership role. And I think it's about, you know, letting the guard down. Yeah. And again, going back to, I don't know all the answers. And you need to understand that you need to let go, and you need to, you know, empowerment is the secret here. And I think that Laszlo Bock, he was his chief strategist when it comes to Google on how you think about culture and leadership. And he had a phrase that I love. He said that if you are not going around and being nervous about what your people is going to do tomorrow, you haven't empowered them enough. And I like that way. You know, if you're not feeling that little bit of, I wonder what they're cooking, you know, in that side of the organization. Mm. I like that, because I think it's about really, you know, because sometimes it's so easy to say, I'm empowering my people, but they need to send me daily reports and I need to see them in their chairs and all those things that you control people, though you say that you're not a sort of a controlling manager. But I think it's about unleashing the power of the organization. And this is something that I would say Google is the most empowering organization I worked with when it comes to the expectations from the employees. And a Googler expects to have a very, very broad empowerment. They are by nature super curious, super independent, a very, very strong self-leadership, because all those behaviors we are qualifying for in the interview process. So we get people with a super strong, curious mindset, with a lot of autonomy and self-leadership. And if you take this, you know, really, really strong people into the organization and don't give them the ground to flourish, they are going to leave and they're not going to be happy. I think Google is really a place where every individual is thriving in autonomy and really, you know, require autonomy in order to perform at its best. So I have stretched even more. I've been here now for almost 6 years, and I think that I have also elevated my leadership here in that sense.
Mm. Well, we have to go deeper down this rabbit hole, because leaders are thinking, wow, Google is hiring people, these special people. I want to hire these special people. Is when you're hiring someone, how do you see that person in the interview? I mean, old school leaders, you're looking at what school did you graduate from? Did you get perfect A's or sixes or whatever your academic system is like? You know, and now you're saying you're hiring these people who are hungry, who are wide open, who want to have power, who want to take chances. Everybody wants that type of employee. Do you have any advice for a leader out there saying, I want those people to be in my hallways. I want to meet them at the coffee machine. What is that thing? What's that secret of Google? Because they're, you know, Google's Google, right? You top of the pyramid. How do you fill your culture, your hallways with great people?
I really, really am proud of the way how we hire people. It was kind of annoying when I first came in. I was used to be
annoying. Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I'll give you the example. So
please.
I've been a manager for many years before joining Google, and I came in. I was, you know, the hiring manager. I'm gonna hire a new person into Google. And we have this thing called interview panels. I'm gonna go into that. And you know, the guy that I had as my final candidate, he didn't pass the interview panel. And I knew that this person is a very, very high performing sales executive. But one of the four panelists said no. And, you know, these panelists have veto rights. So they can actually put the card and say, no hire. And then you need to align on that one. Even though I was very frustrated because I was a hiring manager before. I made the decision. I usually had the grandfather interview, but that grandfather interview is more of a checkpoint and equally important for the people I'm hiring. That person that comes into the company, understand, you know, a little bit of the culture and, you know, the boss's boss and so on. So I was very annoyed at this setup of an interview panel. So we interview people from four different angles. So we take the role-related angle, you know, if you're a sales executive, have you sold before? And, you know, can you tell me about your experience?
Yeah.
We do the leadership interview. And we do that, you know, for individual contributors as well. So everybody needs to show leadership. Self-leadership is super important in order to flourish here at Google. We do general cognitive abilities. So do you have analytical skills? Because we know we're a fast-moving environment. And you see the research that people with high analytical capabilities is also more adaptable than people with lower analytical capabilities. And last but not least, we are doing a Googliness interview. And that sounded very, very strange.
Googliness.
We talk about being googly. So we are looking. Googliness. It's an interesting one. So we're hiring for values. So we're hiring for, you know, do you have a culture fit in this organization? And that's what I'm looking for. This, are you having a curious mindset? Are you open to feedback? Are you exploring alternatives? All those things that are very, very soft skills, but we probe that intensely during the interview process. And I think by combining those four different dimensions, you get people that come in and that can deliver in many different aspects, in many different roles. They are adaptable. They are able to actually take on different roles. And I think that is part of the secret sauce of the people that we have brought into Google.
You've given us advice on how to hire people. You've given advice on how to lead. And if you're an old school leader, how to be a new school leader. This is all wonderful advice. Let's go back on track, right? And let's continue with what is coming. And you mentioned some of the things that have happened, right? The Ukraine, well, all these unknowns. There are more unknowns coming. Why, during this podcast, you smile so much when other leaders are going, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. What is it about you? What do you know that we don't know? That you are, you know, you're running the whole Nordic countries in the cloud for Google. Wow. Share with us, what is that that makes you that great leader?
I think you need to see things at a positive perspective. You know, you should always assume good intent. I think that is very important, the guiding principle. And you need to see the opportunities rather than things that is going to block you for taking where you are. So I think putting in that positive mindset is very, very important. Not a naive mindset. I think it's important to separate from being naive and being positive. So it's about, you know, turning things around. It can be dark in an angle, but if you, you know, take a different view and a different perspective, you can actually see how that can become an opportunity. And I think that is so important to inspire that to your people, acknowledging and let people whine a little bit, let people, you know, unleash their frustration, or let people, you know, call out their big concerns, but then say, okay, this is where we are. How do we then proceed? And then you need to have a more optimistic mindset, and you need to inspire people that, again, take a proactive and you know, own your destiny. And I think that is the most important. You know, things can change, but you need to be in the driver's seat. You know, I think one of the worst things that I can experience is when people become victims, when people victimize themselves and, you know, put them in, oh, I'm just cutting this system and and I can't maneuver. And you say, you know, you need to take control. And you need to actually drive and be in the driver's seat, because we can all be in driver's seats for, you know, the way we're acting. And we need to take that accountability. That's what I'm asking everybody to do. Don't be a victim, but actually take active control of the situation.
When you said a moment, I love it. This is great stuff. A moment ago, you said, let them whine. And what it thought to me was, I know a lot of leaders who go, oh, that person whines, they complain, that's HR. That's not me. Right now, Eva, just make it clear to everybody. As a leader, should you spend time with your people and listen to them, let them whine all that? Or do you always delegate it to HR and you only want the cream of the crop to talk to you?
Absolutely not. I think it's important because people need to feel it's a safe environment to put negative thoughts out in the air. Because by not having forums for that, and by not opening up for people to unleashing what they, you know, are thinking about things and things that they really dislike. If you don't do that, it's not that you're going to stop their minds. Thank God, we don't stop people's minds. People can think whatever they want, but you want them to express it, because if they don't express it to you, they're going to express it by the coffee machine. They're going to express it in other forums. You know, it's like water. You can't really, you know, stop water. Water will find its other paths, and similar to what people are thinking. And you need, in many cases, when you let things out and when you express it, it's like, I'm talking in Swedish, we talk about if you, you know, take the trolls out in daylight, they pop. And it's the same thing here. You know, big problems, if you start talking about them, you can uncover them and peel them like an onion. And then at the end of the day and the end of the conversation, it might actually not be the end of the world. And you also, you show that you is deeply engaged in what people have to share, and that you acknowledge what they are seeing and what they are, their perspective. So it's so important to take that in. I hear you. I take your feedback. I don't always, you know, promise I'm going to, you know, do what you want me to do, but I'm going to show you, and I'm going to very, very honestly listen to your feedback. Then I'm going to spin it back and say, I hear you say this, and my view on it is whatever it is. So I think having an open environment is extremely important, especially when the times get a little bit tough. You need to have the negative voices raised and not only listen to the people that are cheering.
Eva, did you not just give us marital advice as well? I love it. Think about it. I think what you said, the big problem, talk about the big problem, peel it back, and it's really not that big a problem. Right? And to constant communication, constant, then you never get the big problem. Yep. Eva, my God. Does your husband know this?
Well, married 20 years. So yeah, it seems to work pretty okay so far. Knock on wood.
Knock on, exactly. Eva, you before said that you weren't the perfect leader. So as we sort of go wrap up this podcast, I'm just thinking, What is the one trait, the negative trait, the one thing that triggers you that no leader should have or behave or anything that's like, you know, faux pas? Absolutely no, don't do that. Don't go there. Is there any just one thing for the people out there, and especially the men, right? Because we're all perfect, right? How can I become a better leader? What is that one trait that I just got to get rid of here in 2022 where everything has changed and people need independence? You know, the old style doesn't work. Do you have one thing in all the years of you being a leader, you, today you go, you can't do that today?
You need, it's a difficult question. So I need to think about it. But I think it's super important to ensure that you know, because we all have unconscious bias, and be aware of that. Excellent. And listen before you make any assessment. So take a step back when you feel that, you know, oh, now your reptile brain is about to kick in, you know, watch it and make sure that you are, you know, using your brain and not only your stomach when you make a decision. It's important to have them connected. Both are important, but avoid that reptile instinct kicking in.
Wow. Eva, you need your own podcast. The Eva Force Life podcast. I will answer all questions. No, that was fantastic. That wasn't a hard question. You nailed it. You know, that was amazing, because so many times we listen to people and halfway through listening to them, you already have an answer. You're just waiting for them to finish. Right. And that's that reptile thing. Right. And again, let's be honest. Let's go back to marriage. You're not going to have a good marriage if you do that in your marriage communication. Listen to the whole story. Listen to the emotions of the story. Then start to figure out what you're going to say next. Amazing. Ladies and gentlemen, Eva Forsch, Managing Director of Google Cloud in the Nordic region. Wise as can be, she will fix your marital problems, your organizational problems. Do not underestimate this woman. When you see her on the ski slopes, do ski double black diamond? How good are you on the ski slopes?
I get down, yes. I wouldn't say with grace, but yes, I can manage that.
Do you ski with the long pole? What is that called in Nordic skiing? They ski with a long stick. It's been too long. They do it a lot in Norway. They instead of having poles, you have this long stick.
No, that's the Norwegian thing. Very classical. Yeah, very classical. Downhill.
We got to get you to Norway. We got to teach you how to ski with a tree on your arms. Listen, Eva, thank you so much. To all you listeners out there, thank you so much. Please listen to this podcast over and over again. You are getting information from one of the top leaders in the world who shared with you. Matter of fact, she became a top leader because she sees people. She listens to people, and that's how she's successful. Eva, thank you so much.
Thomas, thank you so much. I really enjoyed this conversation. And my last word is stay curious.
Beautiful. Ladies and gentlemen, stay curious. This is the Cognizant Leadership Innovation Podcast. I'm Thomas Anglero. Subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, we're everywhere, Spotify, you name it, and enjoy yourself. Take care, Eva. Take care, everybody. Stay safe. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the Cognizant Leadership and Innovation Podcast. At Cognizant, we help our clients modernize technology, reimagine processes, and transform experiences so they can stay ahead in our fast-changing world. Together, we're improving everyday life. Subscribe to the podcast on Spotify, iTunes, and everywhere.